The day is live and it is Monday, July 29th, 2024. If you are listening for the first time, welcome. If you're returning, welcome back. And thank you, Jay, for producing and for keeping all these wonderful 1-2 family squirrels, cats, children, whatever, herded into these shows. Amazing work that he does. And if you want to come into the chat room and make some comments, post a fun little gif, whatever that is, come play with us, come play with me. It's easy to find us at 12radio.com. You'll see a chat button on the left-hand side, and just click that chat button and come on in. So welcome, welcome. I'm going to try my best to multitask and check the chat room as often as I can, but got a lot going on for today's show. And but before we go too deep into the show and I get all excited about all this information that I'm going to give you, let's get into our heart space. Let's just get really grounded. You know, I like to offer this as an opportunity, whether you're able to close your eyes or not, that's okay. You can still do this with intention, because our intention drives everything. And we know that where attention goes, energy flows. So we can place our attention even without closing our eyes. But I'm at a place right now where I can close my eyes, sitting at my desk here. And if you can, I'm going to invite you now to do so, because that invites the mind into stillness. It doesn't mean dullness, but it does allow the mind to rest behind closed eyelids. And with that, we can then focus on the breath. And the breath is like the one thing inside of us that we can always return to and that we can always monitor and feel. So that's why we use the breath. It is always available and accessible for us. And we're working with training the mind. So we focus on the breath and just allow the breath to be natural. And with our intention and attention, sending our breath and our attention down to our feet, feeling Mother Earth, and drawing Mother Earth energy up through our feet and legs into our hips, and resting at the base of our spine, the perineum, and allowing that root chakra to open and really feel Mother Earth, her love for us, embracing us with gravity, sending our taproot down from our spine into her belly as she nurtures us. And with attention and intention, drawing that energy from ground, from that root chakra, through into the belly center, where healing and trust and safety, connection, reminding ourselves we have a right to be in this body. We have a right to be here. For the next hour or so with me, there's nowhere to go, nothing to do. I'm going to be right here, and you can join me as long as you're able to. And then draw that energy, not losing a drop, bring it from root and belly through the solar plexus, lighting that up, the diaphragm area, and resting in the heart center. And in that heart space, just allow that love and compassion to open, and know that we can find rest right here in that heart. No matter what you may be experiencing before, just let it all rest right here. Let the cremation ground of the heart dissolve whatever story may have been playing out, whatever emotion may have been aware and awake inside of you, right in that heart space, and just rest here and stay open in this grounded, open place, welcoming yourself, welcoming each other in this beautiful 1-2 community. If you're listening to an archive, that's okay. Welcome, welcome. We have community. We have our own individual communities. We have the internet communities that we belong to. Community is crucial. And if we can meet ourselves and each other from this open heart space in a grounded place, how much more impact might we make? Yeah. So, again, welcome to the Jamie Dawn Show. How does that feel? Just notice. This is a grand experiment. We're just adding ingredients to this big experiment called life. And notice maybe how you felt when you heard the beginning of the show, and then before we just did that quick grounding, open heart coherence or resonation. Notice how you feel now. I can tell you. My experience was I was feeling the typical, like, okay, time to get the show going. Am I going to be able to fill the space? Am I going to give you good information? Is anybody even going to listen? Is it just a talking head sitting here? And then now I'm just so happy to be here. I was happy before, but this is a different happy. It's a sense of contentment, a sense of curiosity. Yeah. Curious to see how this show is going to go. What are you curious about today? Get curious. You know, we lose some of our playfulness when we get too serious about, oh, this big bill is looming, or, you know, this relationship is causing me pain or whatever. For a moment, get curious. Oh, I'm curious how I'm going to respond to that. I'm curious about how that person's going to show up, or I'm curious where that money is going to come from, or how I'm going to approach that particular boss or whatever. Let's get curious together today. That's the invitation. And as I like to do, I'll give you a little overview of what we're going to talk about. I'm going to share a little bit more about me. Thank you for the feedback that some of you have given me, where when I share some of my personal stories, sometimes I wonder, is that going to, you know, bore you a little bit? It's like, okay, Jamie's talking about herself, you know, because, you know, I know that our greatest subject matter, right, is me. I'm the center of my universe, right? And we are, because we're made up of the stars. But anyways, I got some feedback from a listener that said, "I love hearing your story. It allows me to get to know you a little bit more." And I'm a pretty private person, and there's a philosophy that if you're in the public, if you will, like on radio or in social media or a public figure or whatnot, that you have to be really guarded, really private with your personal life and things like that. And I am private anyways for the most part, but I love sharing, and I'm okay sharing some of the more vulnerable things. I've done a lot of work, a lot of healing, and also talking about is part of the healing. So I'm going to share some of my own stories and things like that of what's happening today. And hopefully you'll find something that you can relate to. We're going to talk about the new moon that's coming up on Sunday into Monday. And we're being set up for Mercury retrograde, Venus entering Virgo. There's a lot of stuff happening. And we're in Leo Virgo season now, officially in Leo season. The sun is in Leo. And I'm going to pull a card for the week because I do like doing that and offering something for us to meditate on. And it's interesting because last week we had the Queen of Wands, and it was inviting us to really follow our passion and create from that space and speak our truth and find that confidence. And boy, I have a feeling all of us got a little bit of practice, huh? I also find it fascinating that we have the Queen of Wands as something to focus on during the opening ceremony and the Olympics here. I think that's fascinating because we've got all that competition and passion and fiery energy that the Queen of Wands, as well as Leo energy, invites us into. So for this week, let's see what we got here. Okay, we've got the Knight of Wands. That's fascinating. So, not like we're going backwards or anything like that, but here we have the Knight of Wands, which is inviting us, it's giving us a little bit more emphasis on being adventurous and courageous and following our passion and taking action. The Knight of Wands has a little bit more of a go where angels dare to tread kind of energy. The knight has this, you think about a knight, right? It's fighting the dragon, or it's off, it's leading the troops into battle, or it's the protector of the realm, that sort of thing. And so we're going to be looking at pursuing our goals. And maybe there was a spark of an idea that we've been tossing around or that dropped in. And now this week, it's about being courageous enough to follow that spark, to actually put some action behind it and really fuel our passion and our inspiration. I think the hardest part for me personally is that if I don't feel inspired, it's very hard for me to take action. I find myself just sort of sitting. I was driving from my partner's house the other day back to my home and my home office here, and I usually listen to music. My favorite music right now, I like all kinds of music, but the one that I listen to the most on SiriusXM is Octane, and some people may call it the angry music, whatever, but I'm a metalhead. I love it. And so I was listening because I always like when they come out with new music and things like that. Well, what I noticed was everything just started scrambling in my head. I started feeling a little bit fired up and anxious and all that. And so I just turned the music off and I drove in silence. And it's a good 20, 25-minute drive for me without traffic. And so it's a nice commute because it gives me time to decompress or it gives me time to process or whatnot. And so it's where I can find some of my greatest sparks of inspiration, if you will. But anyways, like I was saying, I usually can find inspiration through music, and I just wasn't feeling it. So I turned everything off, put the windows down. It was cool enough for that, and just allowed the energy to flow and find that inspired place, you know? But I can tell you, it's very hard for me to get inspired when I'm just feeling like blah, you know? So, I'm going to use this invitation to meditate on the Knight of Wands to find inspiration, take myself to places that I need to go to get that little extra oomph, and hopefully, like I say, this week in particular, we've got some pretty intense energies, especially leading up to the new moon, and then also as Mercury is going to station retrograde right at the new moon, so or right after. And then, C.A. Brooks mentioned this in the Mark's Power Peak, and I know she'll talk more about it on her show too, but there's a yod happening with Venus, Pluto, and Neptune during this full moon, or excuse me, new moon. And so there's some of that. So I'm going to point to a lot of these things as well. So anyways, that the Knight of Wands, yeah. I'd love to hear if you guys want to comment on your experience with meditating on these cards or on different things of what that might be like for you, if you're noticing anything, that sort of thing. So, okay. Yeah, cool, Joni. Great card. Interesting for me. I've been searching for what to do next. Yeah, let's see what this Knight of Wands. Meditate on it, you know, see what it might hold for you. Welcome, Quelly and Suzanne. Love to have you. And Renee's here. Thank you so much for showing up and commenting. Anybody else that wants to jump in the chat room, please do. All right. What's happening in my world? Well, let's just say, as I like to joke about, we're given skills or tools and a training ground in which we get to use them. And guess what? I failed miserably. Yeah. The last week has been a little bit of a roller coaster ride. There's been a little bit going on. There's been, moments where I've kind of wanted to cut and run, or I'm just feeling a little out of sorts, or I have a burst of inspiration and I try and act on it and then it doesn't work out. Also trying to keep up with my schedule these days has been a little crappy. Anyways, well, yesterday, Sunday, my partner and I have friends that have a boat. And so we take advantage whenever they go out to go with them. And yesterday was that day. And on the way to meet them, conversation between my partner and I was happening. And he said something that triggered me. Now, he has no idea because I didn't react. I just got quiet because that's what I do. I start to shut down. And all of a sudden, that telenovela, that beautiful novelist inside of me, started writing a story. And I couldn't let it fucking go. How many of you have had that experience where that story shows up and you're not writing the next chapter? You're stuck on the character, you're stuck on that scene, and you cannot let it go. Boy, was that painful. And it ruined my entire experience yesterday. My choice. My fault. I totally own it. Nobody else. And God bless my partner. He had no idea what was going on. I mean, he could tell that something was a little off, but he had no idea. So, anyways, I mean, yes, it was a fun time, pleasant time, whatever, with friends and that sort of thing. We get back to the house, and I was still playing that story in the back of my head. Oh, yeah, that tape recorder was going on and on and on. And by the time we were going to bed, he basically looked at me. He was like, "You've said all of maybe 5 words today, tonight." I was like, "No, 10." I was trying to be a little lighthearted about it. I was like, "No, I've said 10." He's like, "12, maybe." Anyways, he could tell that by then I had just totally shut down. And he was like, "All right, well, I'm going to bed. You can turn lights off, whatever, da da da." So I did. I stayed downstairs for a little bit longer, and then I went to bed and basically shed a few tears to cry myself to sleep and had terrible, fitful dreams all night. It was great. Woke up this morning, wrestling with that demon, and you know what? Fucking sucks. I don't know how many of you have been that way, but let me tell you, that was hard. Because then, of course, I started beating myself up for behaving that way and reminding myself I'm 50 years old and I was acting like a 5-year-old, and I couldn't let that story go, and I could possibly let it ruin a good day and a good time, and who knows what my partner's thinking, and blah 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 blah. Right. Little did I ever stop and practice. So one of the things that I'm doing with Nine Gates Mystery School is we have an intentional practice group that I'm leading. And it's 7 weeks of intentional practices for potential mystery school students, people who have shown interest in mystery school, but they weren't able to come to the school. So they're getting a little taste of some of the practices. And we start with grounding. Well, right now, guess what practice we're in? Self-forgiveness. Oh, yeah. And this week we're moving into forgiving another. So, guess what? I realized this morning when I was getting the next practice out to the group, yeah, I had to do some self-forgiveness. And then I went upstairs, and my partner was waking up, and I said, I apologized. And he was like, "What are you talking about?" And I was like, "Well, last night when I was quiet, I was just processing a lot of stuff, and I should have told you." And he's like, "Oh, you got to, sort of dismiss me a little bit." And I said, "No. I said, I shut down on you and I shouldn't have. I should not have shut you out and I apologize for that." And that was it. But I had to forgive myself first before I could make that statement. And then I realized, you know what? This, I didn't apologize to him for his benefit. I did it for my benefit. And that's okay. I needed to release myself. That's what forgiveness is that you liberate the heart, you liberate yourself, you find that great compassion and that great love. And so it was a nice opportunity to reset, but man, I did not take any of my own advice. And now I'm laughing. So there you go. That's what's happened for me so far. And what's interesting too is that it stirs up a lot of stuff, obviously, from past wounds. I notice how, I said I'm a 50-year-old acting like a 5-year-old, right? And I was like, yeah, my 5-year-old self threw a tantrum and wanted this and da da da. And then I remembered the statement too on my drive to the office. I was like, pain, it's painful to let go, but suffering, holding on is suffering, right? It is so painful to let go. I did not want to let go of that story, but man, was I suffering. Because I was holding on to it. Because I wanted what I wanted. I wanted that candy. I wanted to stay up late. I wanted that ice cream. I wanted this, that, or the other, right? And I wouldn't let it go. And I was throwing my temper tantrum inside myself. Okay. Guess what? I'm sure I'll get practice again this week. So it will be what it will be. And here we go. Now we've got Venus. So let's talk about the really this week in particular. We don't have a ton of like major movers until the weekend. But we're gonna have we've got the moon moving into Gemini today. Next, it'll start transiting towards Mars into Jupiter, triggering some emotions and things, making a sextile to Venus. So there could be some relationship stuff that shows up and that may, trigger our need to talk about things or get confirmation or words of affirmation, things like that. Those kind of things that may show up. But I really want to talk more about Venus and Virgo and this new moon and Mercury retrograde. And my light and shadow report for August will be done and published this weekend as well. And as I was writing it, I haven't finished it all, but as I was writing it, especially about Mercury retrograde, so many astrologers are like, oh my God, Mercury retrograde, the whole world is falling. I think of Chicken Little, the sky is falling, the sky is falling. And really, instead of a how, I've seen other astrologers and people talk about how to survive a Mercury retrograde. I'm going to offer a how to stabilize during a Mercury retrograde. So I'm going to talk about it here, but I'm also going to post it in my light and shadow report. And you can find that on my website, jamiedawn.com. My wonderful assistant, Joan, posts that for me in my social media because I really have a love-hate relationship with social media. I posted something yesterday. Ugh, big shout out to my daughter, another personal thing to share. Big shout out to my daughter who had a situation come up. And she's a therapist. Those of you who know, you follow her podcast on my YouTube channel, Far From the Tree. And I'm going to have her on as a guest again one of these days. Her and I were talking about it was time. But she was put in a situation where she was at the gym. I'm going to expound on this. I posted on social media that she spoke up in an uncomfortable situation, but I'm going to share it here what it actually was. She was at the gym and she was doing deadlifts. And anybody who knows that, when you're doing deadlifts, you're hinging, and it can be a very vulnerable position to put yourself in, especially as a female. And we're still working on healing a lot of patriarchal wounds, right? Well, there was a trainer who was training somebody that ended up standing basically behind my daughter, probably no more than 2 or 3 feet behind her, training this person. And that could, so fortunately, my daughter, like I say, she doesn't have the trauma wounds that a lot of people do have, but she's well aware, being a therapist, that these wounds can show up if she was anybody else, right? And there could be a real major trigger that, or response, a reaction that could have happened. And so, as far as being uncomfortable and things like that, or even being, it could have triggered some form of, like I say, really violent response, even. So, anyways, so she turned to the trainer and she said something, and that was, it was like, hey, you need to be aware of your surroundings. You need to be aware of the people that you are in relationship with and that you put yourself in. And this isn't an oversensitivity, because I will say there is, to me, in this collective, there's a little bit of oversensitive stuff that's happening where we're offended by everything and we can't make a move without making sure everybody's okay with it and things like that. I mean, there's that extreme out there. That's not what we're talking about. This is more of being conscious, being, more awake, more aware, more kind. That's the point. And so we become more aware of each other, of our fellow humans, to basically say, I want to be considerate of this situation, right? And so she made a point to say something. I'm just really proud of her, and and bringing that kind of awareness to someone. So, yeah, I digressed because I was talking about how my love-hate with social media, and I posted that on my social media. But guess what? I think it's a perfect setup for what I'm going to talk about with Venus and Virgo and this new moon. And so Venus and Virgo, right, is where we become a little bit more reserved and discriminating when it comes to matters of relationships, of all the Venusian things, finances, what we value, that sort of thing. And so when Venus is in Virgo, it's not at its strongest energy in Virgo, but Venus in Virgo's love language is service and devotion. It's like, I want you to know I love you by what I'm doing for you. You want me to clean your house? Excellent. I'll make sure. That's how I'm gonna. I can just imagine so many people who are going back to the office and their partner or their kids or whoever, they come home and the home is clean. God, that feels so good. And they don't even have to ask. That's that Venus in Virgo, we become more observant and detail-oriented, which is great. Especially because Mercury's going to be retrograde in Virgo and back into Leo, which then creates some confusion and miscommunication, and we lose some of the details. So we're going to have a little bit of a complement here with Venus in Virgo that helps us to ground a little bit more in those details. We become a little more considerate. So I was just talking about how Tatiana said something about considering where spatial awareness and things like that and comfortability of others, right? So with Venus and Virgo, we become a little bit more aware of that. If you have Venus in Virgo natally, you're probably always trying to make people that you care about, you're trying to make them a better person, right? A lot of times it can come across as criticizing or being really fussy or hard to please or having these exaggerated standards of right conduct, and so it can get nitpicky, right? And so it can come across as if you're constantly criticizing your partner, but really it's because you're trying to bring out the best in them and you want to improve them. But we do have to be careful during this time of that shadow side of it, where it does get excessively critical, and then we just feel like we can't do anything right. So do pay attention to that. I think with the Mercury retrograde, it's going to exasperate that a little bit more with Venus and Virgo. So we're going to find ourselves really stirred up, probably by some things that maybe aren't working. We're going to start getting nitpicky in our relationships as far as like, is this really what I want? Can I really overlook some of this bad behavior that I saw before that I didn't care about, but now I do? Or is this person really that useful to me? And if not, do I need to maybe move on, The thing I love about Venus and Virgo is that we do get more involved with that devotion, and devotion comes from a place of a heart. And when we have a stabilized, open heart, then we can truly serve from a place where we're not expecting necessarily anything in return. Now, this also gets a little bit of added oomph with Leo, right? The Leo energy, and we have this new moon, and new moon or the Leo energy, we're gonna be looking at optimism and enthusiasm and reminding that life is something that we should have fun in, that we should revel in. The Buddhist, I love this about the Buddhist philosophy, is that the Buddhist teaches that everything about life is precious. So we have that emphasis here where our confidence can get a boost. We can really rule with that heart space. I think the biggest thing with the Leo new moon is that new moons are obviously every month. They invite us to pause and to evaluate things and to really go within for just a little bit. And with the Leo energy, it's the heart center. So it's going to invite us to drop our head into our hearts. There's actually a meditation that I've done a few times where I drop my head into my heart. It was a beautiful one that one of my teachers, Andrew Holchek, took us through. So it's a great thing to do. But I will say, we mentioned that yod, if you will, that the yod is going to stir up some things. I just want to also give an overview of the energy we're in, because many of you who are listening are your high sensitive empaths, and you're absorbing everything, not just your own shit that you're walking through, but everybody else's too, right? So, think about this. I see it right now where we are readjusting ourselves and we are trying our damnedest to survive, just like Mother Nature is doing the same. And it often seems that right when we feel stabilized, we get knocked down by some sort of wave of uncertainty or chaos. Yeah, right? It's kind of like yesterday for me. Here I am about to enjoy a wonderful day, and then something gets said, and my wound gets scratched, and yep, I get knocked down and I can't let it go. Ha! But we are learning, we are evolving, and it just takes time. So the month of August, and as we move forward in the next week or so, we're going to be really reminded to lead with our hearts. And that we have to do this, we have to keep our hearts stabilized by staying grounded, by using our tools. We're going to need to be able to remind ourselves that not everything is as it appears to be. Now, the thing about the heart space, we often misinterpret heart energy for romantic love, but romantic love energy is stored in the solar plexus. Romantic love is where the story or the interpretation or the projection of that third chakra lives and resides. And that's where many of us humans operate from. You know, when I was in corporate America, I would say 90% of the meetings I would go into, it was all ego-centered. It was all solar plexus. Nothing wrong with ego. We need it to be human and to have an experience and to live and have our personalities. But if it's the only thing talking and it's stronger than everything else, it's not stabilized, all that, then we're just projecting and throwing up stuff, right? So romantic love carries that story as well. It's like the fairy tale story, you know? However, when we lead with our hearts, then our hearts are full of compassion. They're free and they have nothing. We don't need anything to feel complete. And that's a really hard concept from the romantic side of things. It's like the Jerry Maguire, you complete me kind of thing, right? So if we're stuck on that story of like, I need that person in order to, you know, I love that phrase. I wish I could remember where I heard that quote, but if that person or that relationship is the air we breathe instead of the flowers on our table, we got problems. We don't need another human being to make us complete. We're already complete as we are. We want them to complement us, right? Bring out the best in us. So when we are coming from that heart space and that true heart space of devotion and compassion, then we know that we can become love itself. And when we're love itself, there are no stories. We're in the moment letting it reveal itself. We're being asked to evaluate areas in our lives where we are projecting and misinterpreting energy and transform it. So that's what that heart space is really about. Our themes that are going to be building this week, leading into our new moon, they're going to be very Venusian because of this yod. In astrology, the yod is also called the finger of fate or of God. And I see it much like the hero's journey. The best way that I can describe it is that there's a sense of fatedness or purpose that must be fulfilled. It's something intrinsic inside of us that we cannot let go. If you were born with a yod, it's not a common aspect to be born with, but it's like you have to fight for something. Because you have a sense of purpose, this meaning that shows up, and you cannot live with yourself if you don't fulfill that meaning. But you have to face your demons, or you have to fight the dragon guarding that treasure of wisdom and evolution. So, come Monday, leading into this configuration, especially when you've got Pluto and Neptune involved, there's probably going to be a war within. We're going to need to dig deep. We're going to need to use our skills and our tools, and that. We may feel like we've been taking on a lot of battles before we win the war. And the war within is really the war within ourselves. I mean, you can make it a war with somebody else, but it's really you're just showing what's happening inside of you. So the war within is really the hardest to fight through. But if we can stay the course, we might find ourselves stronger, wiser on the other side. I feel that my relationship with my partner today is stronger because I learned, I failed miserably, but I learned, and I'm going to do things differently in the future. And I set things right with him this morning. But man, I was battling all night. I can tell you, my internal war was not, what it was painful. And it just translated, I carried it right into my dream state, which just prolonged it. Yeah. Anyways, like I say, with Neptune and Pluto involved, the dragons we fight may be feelings of powerlessness, control, deception, escapism, desire, all these things that Pluto and Neptune represent. And then you translate that into the Venusian themes, our finances, our relationships, what we value. So here's an example. You might be faced with a situation in a relationship where you have feel you have no control over. You want something they don't, or they've revealed something to you that's gone against your relationship values. What are you going to do? You have no control. They took the action. So it's going to stir up fears, insecurities. So here's the pin on the map. And I know I'm saying this to myself, even though I'm saying it to you too. How will I respond? Will I react or will I stay grounded? Check in with myself, take a breath, self-regulate, speak up for my truth. Will I fight? Will I abandon ship? What am I going to ask for help? Or am I going to isolate myself? These are all kinds of things that get stirred up during this time. So whatever is brought to the surface is going to be available. Here's the invitation. Stay curious. It's an invitation to be curious, to explore, and invite growth. Remember, I know you guys don't like when I say this, but growth means there's going to be pain there. My awareness today is so much more heightened because of the pain I put myself through the last 24 hours than ever before. That's evolution. That's growth. Do I want to repeat it? Nope. Will I? Maybe. In a different way, I hope, and I hope when I do meet it, it will be in a different way. And because we have Mercury retrograde, also, right at this new moon, the themes that show up will most likely be revisited through the entire month of August. Mercury retrogrades from August 5th to the 28th. And Mercury will be in its home sign of Virgo to start with. I mentioned this on my show last week. We talked about what Mercury in Virgo was like. Then it's going to retrograde to 21 degrees of Leo. So you have to think back to the 16th of July. I know I'm asking you guys to stretch with me here in your memories, but you have to think back and go, okay, what was happening then? Because the themes from July 16th all the way through the first week of September, they're going to be revisited, redone. Now, the good news is that as we are presented these patterns, patterns of thought, patterns of behavior, patterns of emotions or reactions, we have an opportunity to shift them, you know? So, we will have all the REs, the re stuff happening during a Mercury retrograde that come knocking on our door. Reevaluate, rejuvenate, revisit, redo. You guys can name more than that, I'm sure. Now, here's the thing too. Mercury retrogrades often cause feelings of destabilization, wonkiness, confusion, miscommunication, because we're dealing with the planet Mercury, which rules the mind. So, again, the planets don't make us do anything, but use the correlation of our mind, the monkey mind, right? All these monkeys in the circus, if you will, they're flying around the circus tent. One of mine escaped yesterday. Yeah, I had to reel it back in. But Mercury, being the planet of communication and information and how we process information, how we learn, how we disseminate information, also consider transportation because it's movement getting us from one place to another. Think of the mind too, the movement of the mind. That's why we train it. That's why we meditate. That's why we practice, just like going to a gym or swimming or whatever thing you do over and over and over again. You train the mind so that it can become, so you tame it. Yeah, I think I mentioned this on a show before, but I'm gonna say it again because it's worth saying. I used to hate, and hate's a strong word. I used to hate the word tame, but that's because it was used as a weapon against me. You know, I saw it that way. That when my father would say to my first husband, when we were right, it was the wedding rehearsal. And we're standing there, and he turns to him and he pats him on the back. He goes, "Good luck, old buddy. Maybe you can tame her." Well, first of all, I was like, "Oh, hell no, I'm not a horse. I'm not an animal that needs to be tamed, you know?" And then, of course, because my father, he was saying it jokingly, but at the same time, I took it personally. And I was like, what's wrong with me that I need taming? You know? Well, okay. Wounds, 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 healing journey, healing journey. And every once in a while, that one can still get scratched. But what I've been healing and learning and working with is tame. And this came from The Little Prince. Taming means to form strong emotional bonds. I was like, huh, okay, I'm working with that. Forming strong emotional bonds. If I'm emotionally invested in something, if I'm emotionally bonded to something or someone, I'm willing to go to the depths and to make it work. My old conditioned pattern, my old conditioned tendency is I'm out of here. I can't tell you how many times last night that in my story, I was like, you know what? I want this pain to stop. I should just go. I could leave right now. I don't need to go upstairs. I'm just going to stay down here and pout all night long. Ha ha ha. He'll get the message. Guess what? He couldn't get the message. I wouldn't let him in. Not to mention, I was the one suffering, not him. So the joke was on me. Anyways, taming. I have a choice. I've chosen to, and I've committed to this relationship and for being in it for however long it serves and serves both of us. And so I'm watching myself take my roots and dig them even deeper and saying, wait a minute, I'm not going, if I left right now, would I be abandoning myself as much as I'd be abandoning the relationship, as much as I'd be abandoning him? I didn't give him a chance to know what was happening. How do I stay in this? How do I not abandon? That's the taming. I'm emotionally invested in this. So I say all that. Mercury, right? The mind. Taming the mind, forming a strong emotional bond, not with the story, but with the training, so that the mind doesn't take over and run us over, you know, and cause us, because our belief systems drive our behaviors. I don't want to take action that's going to sabotage myself, that's going to sabotage another, that's going to sabotage the relationships, you know, and it's not just romantic relationships, it's any relationship. I don't want to do something or say something that would sabotage it, you know. So we train the mind, we tame it, we create this emotional bond in a way that says, my mind needs something. If it's not being trained, it's going to run off like a crazy person, right? My mind wants to be trained. So let's work with it. Mercury in Virgo is great for that. Virgo loves routine. It loves ritual. It loves to be devoted to something. So my commitment during this Mercury retrograde is to train my mind even more than I have before. So that leads me to not my how to survive Mercury retrograde, how to stabilize during a Mercury retrograde. Here's my list if you're still with me. And if you're not, I understand this will be, excuse me, archived and replayed as well. So, okay. Oh, I just looked at the chat room and Lori's also a metalhead. I love it. Rock on, girl. Ha. Hopefully you guys listen to her beautiful show, Lori Love. Yay. Okay. I squirrel. See? Squirrels are also very mercurial. Mercury, how to stabilize during a Mercury retrograde. First and foremost, stay open and curious. Remove assumptions. Not everything is as it appears to be. Not so easy when you've got that yod starting us off with Neptune and Venus, because Neptune loves a good story. It can dream, it can create, it creates illusions, deceptions. I think of the Marvel character Loki. That's very Neptunian, if you will. You know, the illusion, Loki being the god of deception. And so our mind can start believing these illusions that we've created, and then you make this sextile to Pluto, which only fuels it. and says, "Ooh, let's bring out the shadow to that one, ha ha ha." And then, "Oh, let's create a story about our relationship and how that person's not showing up." Or maybe I've created the story that they are actually a god or goddess, and that they can do no wrong, and I can overlook bad behavior. No, not with Venus and Virgo. We're gonna look at it. We're gonna say, "Hold on, in order for me to slay this dragon and get to the treasure behind that, I need to speak my truth. But I'm not going to make an assumption. So I'm going to stay open and curious during this retrograde, which means I'm going to ask questions." Okay? Not everything is as it appears to be. You may not get the answer you want either. So keep that in mind. But stay open and curious. Ask the question. That I'm noticing that there's a change in something you said. What just happened for you? Right? Might be something like that. Hang on one second. I need to see something. I'm being prompted. What is happening here? I cannot work this thing at the same time. I don't know. I have no idea what's happened. Anyways, if you could see what I'm doing, I'm on my computer trying to figure out. I just got prompted with something and I can't figure out what. Anyways, I'm curious. I'm gonna stay open. By the way, we're in shadow, and so little things technology-wise and with your transportation and all that, it's going to come up, I'm sure. So just keep that in mind too. Those are the kind of things that, like this. I have no idea what just happened, but I'm open. I'm curious. I'm not going to make an assumption that I know what it is. All right. Second thing for stabilizing during Mercury retrograde, welcome the past. Our past comes to us in a Mercury retrograde. It's a great time for wrapping things up. Welcome that past. Don't fear it. It gives us a chance to look at these patterns to change them, especially wrapping things up if they've been an energy leak or they've been distracting us for too long. We've been ignoring it because we've been too afraid. That's that Pluto energy in there. It might stir up some fear because it's our shadow. Pluto loves doing that. So pay attention when it comes. Welcome it. Stay curious and open and keep your sense of humor. I can laugh at myself this morning because I acted like a dumbass, yesterday. I forgive myself. I may not have been laughing yesterday because I took it too seriously, but keep our sense of humor. Remember, we're not getting all the information during a Mercury retrograde, or we're saying one thing and the audience may be hearing something totally different. So, see, this is a great play, a great act. We're all jesters of the court, if you will. Don't take anything personally. Yeah, you hear that all the time. We know the four agreements have that. It's going to be even more important. That will help stabilize us during this Mercury retrograde. Remember this, everybody is experiencing something different. We're all in our own universe. So what appears real to me is real to me, just as it is for you. So when I am saying something or I'm acting a certain way, I'm just showing you what's happening in my universe. It could be chaos. My planets inside of me could be crashing about. I could be having shooting stars and all kinds of shit going on in there. And believe me, it'll get revealed. So, but it's not about you. It's about me. Another point for stabilizing during retrograde, take regular timeouts. If for some reason you are feeling overwhelmed, if you're feeling confused, discombobulated, whatever, I love that word discombobulated, by the way. Take a moment of reprieve to regulate and regroup. Those are the REs in retrograde, right? I'm throwing out some other RE words. Reprieve, regulate, regroup. Take some time out for that if you need it. Retrogrades are not a time to push the river. Don't force anything. Create intentional delays. That's another point. If something doesn't feel right and you're not in a place where you feel stable enough that you can make a good decision, push it off for a while. If you don't have to make a major decision, don't. I mean, there are some things we talk about wrapping up the past that you have to sign on the dotted line. You have to buy a new car. My partner's son, it's a perfect Mercury retrograde example. 2 weeks ago, it happened actually. Right on the 16th, his car died. Don't know what's happening yet. We haven't heard from the mechanic. And but now it looks like they're gonna fix it enough to sell it and buy a new car. So his son's gonna buy a new car during a Mercury retrograde. And you know what? It's okay. Yeah, they may have to get warranty. They may have to maybe, a couple months down the road, something happens that they didn't think about or didn't, whatever. It's a grand experiment's life. It's not the end of the world, you know? Anyways, say all that. Create intentional delays if you can. I love the phrase. That's interesting. Let me get back to you. Now, you may have to give some dates. You may have to say, I'd love if we can delay this until the second week of September, if that's okay. Or can we delay this until I return from my trip or whatever? It's great also for conversations that you may not be ready to have. Maybe you and your partner or business or personal, people in your life, you're like, I really need to have this conversation. I need clarity. I need stability. I need to feel secure. I need to address this. Well, Mercury retrogrades are not always great if you're looking for immediacy. They're great if you're looking for the process. So if you plant that seed and you say, hey, I really would love to talk more about the behavior the other day. Can you let me know when a good time is? And you start talking about it. And it's like, well, I think we need, let's say, couples therapy. Okay. Well, the Mercury retrograde, you may not get your partner to agree to it right away. It may not be until afterwards. Or they agree to it during the Mercury retrograde. And then after the retrograde's over, they may back out. They may say, I don't know if I want to do the therapy now. Ah, right? Create a little, you plant the seed, but don't expect immediate results. Right? So it's okay to put things off for a little bit. Communicate that you need time to process or that you're feeling a little bit off. This is another crucial thing to feel stabilized, not just for yourself, but for your partner, for people that need that, you know? That way others can give you the space you need without feeling abandoned by you. So if I'm communicating to someone, hey, you know what? You've just shared something with me that I need time to process. Or you shared something with me that's really triggered something inside of me. I need time to regulate. I need time to figure this out. I love you. I'm not going anywhere. But I will come back to you. So communicate that. That's going to help not only you feel heard and seen for yourself, but it's going to let the other person know, I'm not leaving you. I'm right here next to you. I just need to process this. And last but not least, don't force anything. Pushing or forcing will lead to exhaustion, aggressive situations, or require major cleanup down the road. That's what I was talking about, making decisions and expecting immediate results. During a Mercury retrograde, if you're forcing something, if it's not happening naturally or it's not flowing easily, set it aside for a while. I think it's going to be challenging with Venus in Virgo and Mercury in Virgo and then Leo and back into Virgo again. That we are going to want what we want is, and we start seeing all the reasons why we want it, and we make a list of it, and we get really discriminatory about it. And it's like, that could trigger us. But again, we're practicing, training the mind to stay where it is so it doesn't create a story. I'm saying this more for my benefit, but if it benefits you too, great. I'm all about that. But remember that it is painful to let go. So if you can let it go for a short period of time, it's a temporary pain for long-term gain, but holding on is suffering. And if we hold on to being right, we hold on to the story, we hold on to whatever, we're creating suffering. So keep that in mind. All right. It looks like I'm coming to the end of the show, and I cannot thank you enough for your enthusiasm, your comments, for being here. Please, please know that you can listen to the archive and the replay at any time. That will be available soon. Also, come find me at 1-2-Listen and jamiedawn.com. This is going to be my celestial wisdom video for the week as well. Joan will have that up on my YouTube channel, unless I get really creative and inspired and I do another video. But this has a lot of information in it. And but if something else comes up that feel I need to share, I may do a short clip. But anyways, I cannot thank you enough for all that you guys are and do. And remember, we're in this thing together. So lean in, lift each other up. Community, there's strength in numbers. We don't have to do this fucking human experience alone, right? All right, you guys, Have a wonderful day. Stay tuned for all the other great shows. And thank you again, Jay, for producing. And I'm out. I'll see you next week. Take care.